There's another Evil Dead movie coming.
Aaron Sorkin's writing a semi-sequel to The Social Network?
Paramount has just fired their CEO.
And of course, we're going to go over this week's top five at the box office.
All that and so much more on today's episode of the Movie Nights Roundtable. Hello, Nicholas. How are you?
I am wonderful, Dalton. How are you?
Good. It's another day. Another day here in the studio.
Another day, another week of movie news.
Yes, every week. Quite a lot. It doesn't stop, except for that period of a couple months in COVID where we really hoped it would come back. But anyway, we have tons of stories, as suggested by our opening, and we're going to go ahead and dive right into them. So, Nicholas, what do you got for us first?
Our first story comes to us from Variety, and that is that Paramount Global is kind of undergoing a bit of a shakeup here with Bob Bakish, something along those lines, is out as the CEO.
Yes, this just happened, I believe, yesterday, as of recording this, and I'm going to dive into the Variety article now. Amid the M&A drama enveloping Paramount Global's Bob Bakish is about to step down as CEO after 8 years at the helm of the media empire. Bakish is expected to resign under pressure as early as Monday. The executive has been with Paramount and its Viacom predecessor since 1997. He was recruited by Redstone in 2016 to help bring order to a company that had descended into public legal brawling among shareholders and a battle for control between Redstone and CEO Philip Derman. Word of Bakish's pending exit surfaced from Friday in the Wall Street Journal. At present, Paramount's board of directors is in deep, exclusive acquisitions talk with Skydance Media and Redburn Capital. Another group, Sony Pictures and Apollo Global Management, is poised to field a formal all-cash offer for the company next week as the May 3rd expiration date of the exclusive negotiating window with Skydance nears. Basically, that's a bunch of mumbo-jumbo for saying Paramount's being sold. Yep. It's going to be sold to either Skydance and a capital firm or to Sony. Sony has until May 3rd to make a bid. But amid all of this, the CEO is fucking out of here. Gone. And it kind of just seems to be as part of a victim of all of these acquisition talks. You're going to lose people anyway, losing the CEO. What that tells me is that whoever acquires Paramount probably will not have it operate independently under its own roof. It will just be assimilated into the company, which is going to be interesting. Because if Sony gets it, Sony finally has a streaming service with Paramount Plus. It would be hilarious if Sony bought it and just said, fuck Paramount Plus, and got rid of it. That would be funny.
I didn't realize Sony was in the running for this.
Yes, they're going to try.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And I don't think it's a situation like with Fox and Comcast where they're just bidding for the fun of it. I think they want it. I think they want Paramount. I think there's a lot of pre-existing deals there that Sony finds attractive. Sony has been, like the new leadership of Warner Brothers, even though the new leadership at Warner Brothers constantly does stuff that pisses off filmmakers. They are trying to get filmmakers over there. Sony's been doing the same thing recently. You know, they distributed Tarantino's last film until he canceled The Movie Critic. They were going to distribute it. And I think that by getting Paramount stuff, you know, you're getting access to things like The Godfather. You're getting access to things like Top Gun and things that Mission Impossible, Tom Cruise, like, because Tom Cruise just made that deal with WB. Maybe Sony's like, let's see what we can do if we can acquire these rights. You know, there's a lot going on. But with the CEO being fired, to me, that shows a clear direction of where the new companies want to take Paramount. It also shows that the current board in Paramount among the acquisition just has no faith that Bob Bakish could have successfully led that transition. What are your thoughts on all of this?
Rich CEO gets paid way too much in severance is really what this article's saying.
Yeah.
No, it's interesting. I think that Sony baffles me as a company, as it always has, because they'll put out some great stuff and then they'll put out Madam Web.
Yeah.
And honestly, really just any Sony Spider-Verse movie that's not Venom.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you look at the other stuff they did, I still stand by, they have made the best Spider-Man movies outside of that. But even much more than that, like, they are responsible for the new Ghostbusters movies. I really liked Afterlife. I thought Frozen Empire is fun. So it could be interesting maybe if they delve more into that, if they have a streaming service with it. But I know that Paramount Plus has been not profitable. Losing big time money. So it would be interesting if they just want to scrap that, because this seems more like it would just be a, like you were just saying, a way to just buy the intellectual property that they have. And be like, okay, cool, now we can develop Top Gun 3. Like, we can do all these different things because Sony, I believe, is kind of profitable at the moment.
Yes, and another big thing for them, it would be Showtime, because they kind of folded Showtime into Paramount Plus, and then if you buy Paramount, you now own all of Showtime, mm-hmm. which kind of puts you in an interesting position there, too.
It is. And like you said, they haven't had really a home to drop any of their streaming services. And I wonder if they would keep like the Paramount branding on everything, or if everything would change to some other random thing.
Yeah.
You know, because if you also look at the deals that they have, you know, I think a lot of things are scattered. All their Sonyverse movies are on Disney Plus now. I think Morbius just came to Disney Plus recently.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of them are on Netflix too.
Yeah.
So they've been really kind of trying to spread out as much as possible without having to make that full commitment to having a home.
Yeah.
But I think that they have a really good catalog of movies just on the Sony side alone.
Yeah.
That I think could fill a platform that would be interesting.
And I'll be honest, while that is a business avenue for them, I wouldn't be shocked if they just didn't do a streaming service at all. And they just used that new IP that they'd have as leverage for selling those rights. Because one of the reasons why Sony is profitable is because, you know, Spider-Man, Disney wanted them on the platform because it fits in their kind of multiverse thing. And they're like, all right, you're going to have to pay us all the money for it to stream them.
Yeah, they're going to come up and be like, who wants Godfather and Godfather 2?
Exactly. So it's basically, you know, doing that deal. That's why you see a lot of their films on Netflix and stuff as well. They're paying out those licensing fees. They'll take it. You know, they're not losing money based off of creating original content for a streaming service that only makes money through ads and subscriptions. Like, that's not a problem for them.
Do you think they care about actually fleshing out the IPs more? Like, I'm just saying Godfather 4. That's not a thing, nor should it ever be a thing. But, like, that's not what they're after. You think they're just going to be like, oh, Netflix, you want the Godfather rights? Okay.
Yeah, they cost this much now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. just trying to break down Paramount Plus into the IPs and just sell it, close-up shop.
That's what I'm thinking, because now you have Sonic as well, you know?
Like, Sonic's you have, a big one. I can see Sony keeping Sonic, I'll be honest.
Yeah, but, like, it's just one of those things where there's a lot of positives to buying it, and the fact that they're doing a cash only bid mm-hmm. I think is also appealing, because normally with big acquisitions like this, like, you're doing it in exchange for like stock in the company.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're giving them that cash option is just like, you can fuck off as soon as we do this. Like, you don't have to be tied to our company in any way.
Yeah, like, you're done, we're leaving.
Yeah.
We're mm-hmm. scrapping this thing for parts and calling it a day.
Yeah. Yeah. So either way, it'd be interesting to see that happening. What do you think about Bob Bakish being fired essentially as the Paramount CEO amid all of these acquisition talks? Let us know in the comments as we move on to our next story. And Nicholas, what do you got for us next?
Our next story comes to us from The Hollywood Reporter. That is that Aaron Sorkin is writing a potential Social Network sequel.
Ooh.
Quote, I blame Facebook for January 6th seems to be the premise he's going off of.
Yes, and he's not alone. But this is fascinating to me because, one, Aaron Sorkin, easily one of the best screenwriters ever, let alone working today. And people have wanted a Social Network kind of sequel for a long time, considering everything that Facebook has done post that period of time, especially with everything with Congress and everything. And using January 6th as like the catalyst, I think, for storytelling purposes is interesting. And we should point out, no studio has hired him to write this. He hasn't even really finished a script. He's kind of just let people know, like, hey, I'm thinking about writing this because this is a story that interests me.
See how people respond.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to pull from the Hollywood Reporter article here. Aaron Sorkin is writing a new movie that could serve as a sequel to The Social Network. The Oscar-winning screenwriter broke the news when he was asked during a Live from DC edition of The Town podcast about how Facebook and social media have influenced democracy in the years since his 2010 hit. He's quoted here saying, look, yeah, I'll be writing about this. I blame Facebook for January 6th. When asked why he blames a social media company for a pro-Donald Trump mob storming the U.S. Capitol, Sorkin replied, you're going to need to buy a movie ticket. He's a goddamn genius for saying that. Press that if it means he's writing this idea specifically as a movie, Sorkin replied, I'm trying. Facebook has been, among other things, turning its algorithm to promote the most divisive material possible because that is what will increase engagement. This is what we will get into, what they call the inside hallways of Facebook, the infinite scroll. There's supposed to be a constant tension at Facebook between growth and integrity. There isn't. There's just growth. Ooh, my man knows how to speak, considering he knows how to write as well.
Yes.
And
directing
it? Listen, I haven't hated any of his movies directorial-wise, but he does have a long way to go for me to be considered like a top director.
No, I think he's definitely there for writing. I think he's an excellent writer.
Yeah. Ben, something I want to say is, like, this isn't surprising considering a lot of Sorkin's material does come from a sort of political political storytelling. The West Wing, he was the creator of, which was an amazing political show.
Yeah.
He also did The Newsroom, which is now being clipped all the time for like its interesting political takes on that show.
Yes.
And so this doesn't surprise me. And one, super excited about this. One, because The Social Network is a fucking awesome movie.
I've never seen it.
We're going to correct that very soon. It's an amazing movie.
If it is a sequel, I hope that he does get Jesse Eisenberg back.
Listen, if I get to see Jesse Eisenberg as Mark Zuckerberg at the Congress hearings, and listen, for no reason, because there's no way that he's a part of the story, bring back Andrew Garfield's character as well. Just for no reason, have him in there, because to me, he's the best part of that movie.
Can't really do the Winklevoss twins, though, can you?
You really can't. You really can't, unless you recast, you know? but yeah, as we said earlier, like, this isn't a thing that's for sure happening. It's something that he wants to make happen. I'm so there. And you know, I know media literacy is a bit down in people recently, but our YouTube algorithm seems to think that, like, we advocate for a certain audience. So I just want to get it out there. January 6th was bad, and you should feel bad if you think it was good. Yes. I'm just going to throw that out there right now.
Yep.
We're getting a surprising amount of horrific, racist, and homophobic YouTube comments that have no bearing on movies or anything like that at all.
Nope.
And yeah, just wanted to throw that out there.
So, good movie about a bad thing.
Yes.
That's what this news story is.
Yes, very much so.
I saw a great tweet that said, cursed movie pairing, Aaron Sorkin writing, Adam McKay directing this movie.
That would be so insane. It would be insane. Yeah, honestly, get David Fincher to do it again.
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
Social Network. Fucking watch Social Network. I'm surprised you haven't watched it just because Fincher alone.
I love Fincher. I do. Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it's a crime. And I love Jesse Eisenberg.
Mm-hmm. The film that made him.
As Lex Luthor.
This is true.
No, I think it'd be interesting. I think it's a hard thing to do of if you're calling it a sequel or semi-quasi-sequel,
mm-hmm.
if you're going to have Facebook be a part of it, I feel like you either have him back as Zuckerberg or it's not an adjacent, like...
Yeah, then it's not an adjacent sequel,
then this
yeah.
is just a different thing altogether.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think if he's saying that Facebook is the main part of it, I feel like it kind of is lending itself
to that. And listen, to me, you don't even have... As long as the movie gets made and he's writing it...
Yeah.
Great. It doesn't have to be connected to Social Network.
No, yeah, I think he might be shooting himself in the foot by saying this now.
But if you're going to say that, 100% bring Eisenberg back. 100%. Yeah. And here's the thing, he would do it. I know he would.
I think he would too, because I think it's an interesting thing as an actor where he played the young version of this character.
Mm, yeah.
And now he's going into something more relevant, like more recent things that have happened. And I think it's a different type of character altogether at this point.
Yeah, yeah. 100%. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, what do you guys think about Aaron Sorkin writing a quasi-sequel to The Social Network about kind of revolving around Facebook's role in the January 6th insurrection? Let us know in the comments as we move on to our main topic
and
story.
Only let us know in the comments if you also think that January 6th was bad.
Yes. Correct.
If you are pro January 6th, fuck off.
Thank you for that. Thank you very much for that. Now let's move on to our main topic story. And Nicholas, what do you got for us?
Oh, man, we may have just opened up a shitstorm.
That's fine. We can handle it.
Our next story comes to us from Deadline, and that is that Francis Galuppi, has been tapped to write and direct a new Evil Dead movie.
Yes, and this comes off the heels of a few months ago when we reported that there's actually another Evil Dead spinoff movie in the works from a different director.
Yep.
We're getting two Evil Dead movies.
Oh, this is like a different...
Yes!
Oh, I thought that this was that project.
No, it's two completely different Evil Dead films. Yes.
This pleases me.
This pleases me. I'm going to pull this from Deadline. Francis Galuppi, The Last Stop in Yuma County, I guess it's a project he did. County, excuse me.
I also think that movie has not premiered yet.
Oh, so it's coming out.
I think it's coming out and people are
buzzing.
Evil Dead. Yeah.
Interesting. Has been tapped to write and direct a new Evil Dead movie for Sam Raimi and Rob Tappert's Ghost House Pictures, sources tell Deadline. The project is described only as an original story that Galuppi developed and brought to Raimi and team. No word on a plot or who will be producing, as it's in the early days here. In a statement to Deadline, Raimi did tell us, Francis Galuppi is a storyteller who knows when to keep us waiting in simmering tension and when to hit us with explosive violence. He is a director that shows uncommon control in his feature debut. Bro. Fuck yes.
Hell.
This is what I'm talking about. And we've talked several times before about how Sam Raimi as a producer, especially when it comes to the Evil Dead IP, does so well at taking filmmakers who are up and coming, and he sees the talent, he sees the potential, and says, hey, here's something to get your career kickstarted. Here's our IP. Go make a fucking Evil Dead movie.
And you could turn them out cheap.
Yes.
Too, and horror is always profitable.
100%. And the fact that he went to Raimi with an Evil Dead idea while they're already making an Evil Dead film. And he went, oh, fuck yeah, we have to do that. That just tells me this movie is going to fucking rip, dude. I'm so excited to hear this. Because the other film, the other Evil Dead film, is being developed by Sebastian Vanacek, who just made Infested, which is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
If I said the name wrong, I apologize. But he's doing the other spinoff film for Ghost House and for Sam Raimi as well.
Okay.
So, dude, what a time to be an Evil Dead fan. This is great. We're getting two films. Yes. I'm loving this.
I looked it up. So the last stop in Yuma County premiered at Fantastic Fest in September
okay.
of 2023. And it is now scheduled to be released in May 10th. And Fantastic Fest typically is a lot of horror or a lot of sci-fi, I believe, is sort of the main general there. So I assume probably maybe Sam Raimi or people from Ghost House, his other producing partners, maybe there, and were like, hey, I liked that.
Yeah, 100%.
And he said, you did. Well, let me tell you my Evil Dead movie.
What a great response. You always come, always go to a festival with an Evil Dead movie ready to go. That should be everyone's.
That's just in general, too. Yeah. You can go to a fucking drama thing and be like, let me tell you about my Evil Dead movie. Everyone should just always have an Evil Dead movie in development.
I agree, 100%. And what are your thoughts on this whole story in general?
Listen, I think it's a great thing. Anyone who has watched the show before knows our love for the franchise and our love for, you know, Bruce Campbell in general, our love for Sam Raimi in general. I think it's a great thing. I think it's a wonderful idea to have something kind of constantly in the loop with an Evil Dead and really setting up like this, what is your Evil Dead movie, instead of kind of building into this connected greater universe type thing. Because, you know, there's going to be some hits, there's going to be some misses, but if you always have kind of one in the pipeline and it's this established, like, oh, it's an anthology, you know, maybe the next one's great. You know, I think that's a great thing to have, as opposed to, like, what if Evil Dead Rise was not good?
Yeah.
And they didn't have anything in the pipeline. It's like, oh, another Evil Dead. You know, I like this idea of, let's just give these up-and-coming filmmakers their chance to shine. Here's 10, here's $20 million. What's your Evil Dead movie?
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea, effort, and it gets people to kind of have, it's very sort of reminiscent of on a much larger scale, like the Stephen King Dollar Babies thing where he has, where you can buy the rights to a Stephen King short for a dollar, and now you can put Stephen King, you know. I think it's a wonderful effort to kind of help filmmakers.
Yeah, no, I think it's great, and it also, you know, it's already built the career of Fede Alvarez, who's gone on to direct amazing things. He's directing the new Alien film coming out, and also with Evil Dead Rise, it showed, put these bitches in theaters. Don't take them straight to streaming. They'll make you fucking money. They'll make you your money 10 times over. And I'm sure we'll see the careers continue of the other people involved, like Lee Cronin, the director of Evil Dead Rise.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I think this is an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. The more Evil Dead, the better. That's what I live for. What do you guys think about yet another Evil Dead film in development and a story that was brought to Raimi and approved? Let us know in the comments as we move on to our next story. And Nicholas, what do you got for us next?
Our next story comes to us from Variety, kind of in the horror realm as well. Al Pacino and Dan Stevens are set to play troubled priests, aren't they all, in an exorcism horror titled The Ritual. Wasn't Dan Stevens in a movie already called The Ritual?
Was he?
What was the Netflix one?
Apostle.
Oh.
And that was directed by the guy that made The Raid. That's a decent little horror film.
I was thinking Apostle. That's my bad.
Yeah,
no, I don't know how names work.
That's okay. Hey, Russell Crowe was in The Pope's Exorcist. Now he's in a film just called The Exorcism. Completely unrelated films. Yeah. It happens, you know? And let's dive into the story now. I'm going to pull this from Variety. Al Pacino and Dan Stevens have teamed up for an exorcism horror film, The Ritual, from director David Medell. XYZ Films has acquired the worldwide rights to the feature, which plans to release it theatrically in 2025 and arrange for international distribution in the upcoming Cannes Film Festival market. The Ritual was written by Medell and Enrico Natale and produced by Andrew Stevens, Mitchell Welch, and Natale. Ashley Green and Abigail Cohen round out the cast. So, that's why it's the story. I'm going to dive into this. Based on a true story, The Ritual follows two priests, one questioning his faith, Stevens, and one reckoning with a troubled past, Pacino, who must put aside their differences to save a possessed young woman through a difficult and dangerous series of exorcisms. Let's fucking go. Can I just say, I fucking love Dan Stevens.
I love Dan Stevens.
I love Dan Stevens so much. Listen, Not only is he a phenomenal actor, he's an incredible actor. He steals everything that he's in. First of all, where did I first fall in love with Dan Stevens? Might be an unexpected place. It was the TV show Legion. A TV show, by the way, that went incredibly under-recognized award season-wise.
That everyone should watch.
100%. Aubrey Plaza also bangs on that show. And he was great in the Godzilla Kong films. He's great in...
The standout of that, yes, outside of Godzilla and Kong themselves.
He was great in the recent Abigail film. He was one of the only good things about the Beauty and the Beast live-action remake. And you know, here's the thing.
I disagree with that statement, first off. Yes, he was one of the best parts of it. You're forgetting about Luke Evans' Gaston.
Oh, you're right. I forgot about Luke Evans' Gaston. But also, I've never seen The Guest, which apparently is like his... huge thing, like his movie that everyone talks about, like, oh, Dan Stevens, you gotta see The Guest. I still haven't seen it. So, internet, shame me into watching The Guest so that I can talk about it and reveal that I love Dan Stevens even more. And he was good in Apostle, which we brought up earlier.
Yeah, he was Lancelot in Night at the Museum, The Secret of the Tomb.
There you go. There you go, buddy.
He fights Hugh Jackman's Wolverine.
Yes, that's right. Also, he was in Downton Abbey, which I think is where a lot of people started to recognize him from.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, The Guest. Apparently, he rules in that movie, and I've never seen it.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, same.
Dan Stevens, keep doing what you're doing. Al Pacino, my eyes see you.
Good pull. Oh, dude, he's in Cuckoo. I can't wait. I'm so excited for that movie, and Yeah, now I'm more excited.
When's the last time Al Pacino was in something? This is interesting.
Jack and Jill. No, he's probably in something after that. I just wanted to bring up the fact
The Irishman.
That he, right. I just wanted to bring up the fact that he was in Jack and Jill.
What's this David Medell guy? Has he done anything here?
Let's find out. I'm unfamiliar with his work. Yeah. As a director, it's going to be his directorial debut.
Oh, wow.
Looks like he's written a short and a couple features, and he's produced a couple things as well, but this will be his directorial debut. That's interesting.
It's a good cast for a debut.
Did
there.
You get an Al Pacino in your
I
debut?
Know, right? All right, here you go. Here's a little bit of trivia for you. Al Pacino. I'm going to look this up as we're doing this. All right, Al. Short for Albert or short for Alfred?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Alfred.
Alfred. All right, let's see. Ooh.
Was that right?
Alfredo.
Damn, we were close.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. The Godfather makes more sense.
Alfredo Pacino. What a name.
That is a hell of a name. Amazing name. What are your thoughts on Dan Stevens and Al Pacino teaming up in an exorcism movie?
I mean, listen, great cast, great pairing. I'm excited to see them playing priests. Priests are really making a comeback in exorcism horror here, especially
yep.
after Russell Crowe's The Pope's Exorcist.
Yeah.
I count him as the start. I think it'll be very interesting. I think they're both great actors. I love me some exorcism horror, too.
Yeah, same. And I can't wait for how the internet reacts to Dan Stevens in a priest costume. I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, we already got him in a Raising Arizona outfit in Godzilla Kong.
That's true.
Watch out, Adam Scott. Not Adam Scott. Hold on. What's his name? Andrew Scott. Watch out, Andrew Scott. There's a new sexy priest in town.
More hot priests are coming.
His name is Dan Stevens.
Absolutely. What do you guys think about Dan Stevens and Al Pacino teaming up on an exorcism horror movie? Let us know in the comments as we move on to our final news topic story before moving on to the box office. Nicholas, what do you got for us next?
Next story comes to us from Deadline. I'm quoting the article here. Here's a nice one. Emmy nominee Adam Scott is set to star in and direct his first feature, Double Booked, alongside Oscar nominee Sterling K. Brown, who just was nominated for American Fiction, Zazie Beetz from Atlanta, Joker, even, and Alexandra Daddario from The White Lotus and other things.
Yes.
Percy Jackson.
Yes, and it looks like it's going to go into the Cannes market as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull from Deadline here. Double Booked follows a successful self-help writer, Scott, and his heavily pregnant wife, Beetz, not to be confused with slightly pregnant, who organize a weekend away at a secluded lodge only to encounter another couple, Brown and Daddario, at their cabin when they arrive. With a blizzard moving in, they are forced to spend the night together, and what seems like an innocent system error turns into a chilling battle of deceit with deadly consequences. Now, Remember how earlier I mentioned that I love Dan Stevens?
Yes.
I also love Adam Scott.
Who doesn't?
I love him very much so. And I'm glad that he's getting a feature directorial debut. That's very cool. He obviously has rounded out a nice cast. And the movie sounds interesting enough. I'm curious about his sensibilities as a director, just because I have nothing to go off of, and if he'll be able to kind of handle something like this. But color me intrigued. It doesn't sound like it'll be that much of an expensive movie. It's probably going to be secluded to that one location. All good stuff for a first-time director. Count me there. What do you think?
Yeah, listen, I mean, I've always loved, been a big fan of Adam Scott. I think he plays excellent comedic roles, you know, especially playing kind of like the douchey characters like in The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, or even as the younger brother in Step Brothers, which is a great comedy.
Amazing
movie.
Role, yeah.
I think that he came in and honestly saved Parks and Rec. I think when him and Rob Lowe were introduced is really when the show found its footing, and I think that the character he plays in that was great. I have not watched it yet, which is a crime, but I have been wanting to start Severance, his Apple show.
Same.
And I'm trying to look up now because I feel like I recall him possibly directing episodes of that.
Okay.
But I could also be confusing him because I think Ben Stiller...
like, is running the show, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
The only thing I think I've seen where I'm like, oh man, Adam Scott, what happened to you here, was definitely Madam Web.
Yep.
Okay, no, he did not. He directed one episode of Parks and Recreation.
Gotcha.
And now has this coming up into pre-production. Which episode did he direct? Farmer's Market? I don't remember that one. off the... Oh, it's a one with Billy Eichner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's the one where they teach him... Billy Eichner's yelling. They're trying to teach him to be the wine sommelier. Right, and he's like, who pairs a red with fish? All right, you know what? I'm excited. Great job, Adam Scott. You gave us that iconic clip. No, listen, I think Adam Scott, I really enjoy it. Sterling K. Brown has always knocked it out of the park in everything he's been in. I think Zazie Beetz is a terrific actress, as well as Alexandra Daddario.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, and she's definitely getting a bit of a resurgence here coming off of the success of the first season of White Lotus, which... then as the second one, I feel like that kind of revitalized her a little bit there.
Mm-hmm.
So no, a great cast, great ensemble, definitely going to be an interesting movie.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. And what do you guys think about Adam Scott making his directorial debut with that killer cast? Let us know in the comments as we move on to the box office!
The box office.
Nicholas, Dalton. I can already tell you our predictions are wrong.
But I'm going to give them to you anyway.
Go ahead.
All right, Dalton, you had Challengers coming in at number one.
Uh-huh.
Civil War number two. Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare number 3, Abigail number 4, and Godzilla Kong number 5.
Mm-hmm.
I myself had Challengers number 1, Civil War number 2, Abigail number 3, Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare number 4, and Godzilla Kong number 5.
Wouldn't you know it?
We were both fucking wrong.
Correct. Challengers did come in number 1, making $15 million in its opening weekend, which by 2024 standards is decent, but we really need the box office to come back in general. It was, let me see if it has the budget listed here.
Yep. While he's looking that up, as a reminder, these are the Sunday estimates. If you look into this description of this video, you will find the final Monday numbers.
That is correct. Worldwide so far, it's made $25 million and it was made for a budget of 55. So it's halfway to its production budget. So, you know, I'm sure it'll have good word of mouth, but it is going to have to carry for a couple weeks in the top five if it really wants to see profitability. Coming in second, Unsung Hero, which is a film from Lionsgate, and it completely went under my radar. And it looks like it is about a country singer, and it looks like it may even be based on a true story, but completely went under our radar. So sorry about that, guys. But that came in second place, and in its second place numbers, it made $7.7 million. Good for that little movie. Came from Lionsgate. Coming in third, Godzilla X Kong, making another $7.2 million, dropping 25% from week 4 to week 5. Coming in fourth, Civil War, dropping only 38% from week 2 to week 3, making another $7 million. Coming in fifth, Abigail.
What a drop.
Making only 49% drop.
Oh, that's
and it made
solid.
$5.2 million at the box office. For a B cinema score horror movie, that's a great drop.
Yeah.
Gentlemanly Warfare came in sixth with $3.8 million, dropping 57%.
Modest.
Other cool things to point out, the Alien re-release made $1.5 million. Good for that film. And the Mummy release made $1 million over the weekend.
Okay, well, that's a good sign for the new Alien movie. There's definitely a lot of interest in the franchise still.
Yes, and
make a new Mummy movie with Brendan Fraser. You cowards in Hollywood.
100%. Do it. And the Spider-Man re-releases have been doing very well. I don't have them here because they haven't been released over the weekends, but their Monday numbers have done very well. I think the first one did over 600,000 on Monday, and the second one did almost a million. So, great job for, you know, those re-releases. But let's dive into these numbers here.
Yeah.
Unsung Hero, which came in second, was made on a budget of $6 million, so it's already 1.3 over the budget. Doesn't have that much long to be profitable. Good for that little movie. Hopefully it can do it. Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, now has $519 million worldwide. It has crossed that half a billion mark. It's made 3.8 times its budget. Good for Godzilla Kong. Civil War has now made $67 million worldwide on a budget of 50. It's at 1.4. Has a little bit while to go for profitability. We'll see if it can stay in the top five. I'm a bit surprised it stayed in as high as it did. Mm-hmm. If it keeps having small drops, maybe it can keep getting there. Abigail, coming in fifth, and has $28 million worldwide on a budget of exactly 28, I think. So it's now made exactly its production budget back, but it still has a little bit more to go for profitability. While it did have a short drop, I don't know how much longer it can hold that drop. We'll have to see how it does in the weekends coming. Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, which, by the way, I found out some interesting stuff. Remember how we had brought up how Guy Ritchie's past few movies haven't been doing very well?
Yeah.
The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, its international rights were bought by Amazon, and they're not theatrically releasing it overseas. They're only doing it on Prime overseas.
Huh.
And I think Operation Fortune and The Covenant, I don't know this for sure, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's the same thing, that another company had certain international rights. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
No.
But I'm very surprised they're not doing a UK release for Gentlemanly Warfare. That seems...
It's for a Guy Ritchie movie in general.
And like, it's for a movie about British soldiers. Like, yeah. That. It's very fascinating to me.
And they're going to wonder why it didn't make money.
They are. Other box office things to point out, Doom Part 2 officially passed $700 million worldwide. It made $704, which brings it to 3.7 times that production budget. Good for Warner Brothers, good for Dune. Can't wait for the third one. Boy Kills World opened at $1.6 million. And let me see if it has budget details there. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. But there's a good, great article. I haven't read it yet, but I have it bookmarked about all the changes the movie went through from its premiere at a festival to theatrical.
Oh, really?
I want to see what all the changes were. I'm very curious by that. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire is at 187. It looks like it's barely going to get to 200, which is not profitable for them. It's about 1.5 times the budget. But at the same time, it's not horrible, considering that people expected the movie to do worse than that. Kung Fu Panda 4 is just crushing it. It's at $500 million worldwide, 503, on a budget of 85, almost six times the budget. Crazy,
people
crazy budget.
There.
100%. And yeah, that's the box office for you this weekend. Nicholas.
Yes.
What are your predictions for next week? You're going first.
I'm going to go ahead and look up some stuff, though, because I've been seeing some conflicting release dates for certain things. So I want to really just make sure I have it down pat here.
That's fair.
All right. So Thursday, May 2nd, Fall Guy. Okay. Challengers. Unsung Heroes. Okay. Because I thought I saw that the Idea of You was coming out.
I believe it's a Prime release.
Gotcha.
I think it is. I could be wrong.
Okay. Oh, Tarot comes out.
Mm-hmm. Tarot. Is it Tarot? Tarot?
I think it's Tarot because it's like tarot cards.
Oh, right. I can't read.
That is a horror movie.
Mm-hmm. And it's had a lot of marketing.
I know. I'm going to go Fall Guy number one.
Okay. I'd say that's a safe bet.
What did Challengers come out with this week?
15.
I'm going to go Challengers number two, because I think that one's going to get a bump with word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Tarot number three. I'm going to go Godzilla Kong number four. And I'm going to go Civil War number five. No, scratch that. Reverse it. Unsung Hero.
Okay. Okay. You bring up many good points. This is what I'm going to do. And maybe I'm a madman. You can call me that if you like. Number one, I'm going The Fall Guy.
Naturally.
Number two, I'm going Phantom Menace.
Okay.
Number three, I'm going Challengers. Number four, I'm going Tarot. Number five, Civil War.
Now, may I ask your reasoning? Because all of these re-releases have not made over a million, or have just barely made over a million.
Fair. This movie has booked theaters for, it's an official, like, re-release. Like, it's not like a couple day screenings, like on Monday through Thursday. Like, it's booked in theaters for like the next 2 weeks, all day, every day.
Oh, damn.
Full on release. And there's, I don't think showing 25 minutes of The Acolyte is really going to do anything for people. But I do think, like the Spider-Man films are learning, if they can make $1 million in one day, imagine if they release them over a weekend, how much money they could have made.
Yeah.
And if the bar here is 15 million, and I think Fall Guy is going to make about 30,
mm-hmm.
maybe 40. I think Phantom Menace could easily make 17 million.
Because what if Challengers did a 50% drop? That puts it at roughly 7.5. So you're predicting Phantom Menace to go above that.
Yeah. And look, the numbers argue against it.
Yeah.
I just have this gut feeling
something in,
that it's going to happen.
Am I messing up not putting it in my five?
No, that's the smart thing to do numbers-wise.
Yeah. It'll definitely be interesting.
Yes.
That's for sure. Listen, I'm very sad that movie theaters and studios are struggling to the point where they're re-releasing this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm so excited that I get to see a bunch of this stuff in theaters.
100%,
though.
Yeah.
I unfortunately did not get to go see any of the Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
But I am looking forward to Phantom Menace.
Me too.
It's just great to see, like, oh, I can go see Alien in theaters if I have the time. I can go see The Mummy in theaters if I have the time.
Yeah.
I think that's just great.
Me too. And by the way, you've never seen these films unless you've seen them in a theater. Mm-hmm. Like, Back to the Future has always been one of my favorite movies. In the pandemic, when they re-released it, seeing Back to the Future with a crowd, some of which who have never seen the movie, one of the best experiences I've ever had.
Well, we went and saw E.T. for the 40th. That was fantastic.
Dude, amazing. Yes. Highly recommend. Even if you're like, oh, I've seen that movie, go see it in a theater. It's so worth it. It's so worth it. Also want to point out, Spider-Man 2 made $800-something million on a Monday with $5 tickets. Also.
That's really good.
So, like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just have this gut feeling that the Star Wars fans who hate Disney and the Star Wars fans who love Disney will unite over going, oh, Phantom Menace in theaters. I'll check that out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though people don't realize Disney's the one re-releasing it in theaters. But it's just one of those things that I feel like it's that thing that's like, let's see how this does, and it's going to surprise people with how well it does.
And then we get 2, 3, and we get all the Star Wars ones back.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
They're doing the marathon on the 4th, which...
Don't do it.
Why?
You're going to have to rewatch one.
That's fine. I can go late.
That's fair.
I can go in with my ticket when it starts, go get food at the Springs, have a nice relaxing day, walk right back in, catch the rest of them.
That's fair.
But yeah, and look, there's a big chance that I'm wrong about this because that's where the numbers are. I just have this weird feeling and I'll eat it. I will eat it on the show next week if I'm wrong.
It's worth a shot.
Worth a shot. That's all I'm saying.
You never know.
Yes. So with that down, guys, that is the show. If you want to predict the box office next week, please leave it in the comments and we will shout you out on the show if you are correct.
Yes.
Nicholas, got anything you want to add?
As always, links to the audio version of the show and our social media channels are in the description.
Yes.
And we have some exciting reviews coming out this week for you. We're going to The Fall Guy, so mm-hmm. be on the lookout for that.
And we have The Idea of You.
And The Idea of You.
Yes, so be on the lookout for that, guys. Thank you so much for watching, and we will see you next time.